2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, which is where our source is. Verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, your eternal truths are sometimes hard for us to grasp, and yet at times they come clear, and all of a sudden our life changes. This morning, Heavenly Father, may they become clear to us, that which you want us to know and that which we need to know. May we be able to effectively place this in our hearts and lives, in our minds, and digest every last bit of it, so that you can have your word in us, having your perfect way with us. Lord, you have permission now to tinker in our lives by your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, draw near to us, embrace us, and remind us of your goodness. Thank you. I ask you this in the name of Jesus, for your name's sake and your glory and yours alone, so that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Do you ever wonder how things kind of fall together sometimes? It almost seems like they're just when God's working on something for you and everything just kind of lines up. Almost like when you were ready to do your children's message, you were saying that it was like all falling into place. Just coincidental, it seems. But it's interesting to me because y'all don't understand a whole lot about message planning, so I'll give you a little bit about it. And that is, you can think about the message and tell someone what you want to do, and no matter what, if you try real hard to plan something perfectly, it doesn't fit together. But you just go with whatever you think you're supposed to do, and it happens the right way. Did you ever notice that? It seems like God doesn't have to be fitted into a box. The boxes we put God in, he doesn't fit in anyway. Last Sunday I was talking a little bit about how dead men don't talk, and that the old self that God is removing from us should no longer be a part of the conversation. But for some reason that dead fellow keeps trying to talk. So, what's the deal? What's really dead in us? What has really happened? And what is God working on within us to change us, to move us to be more like him? What's going on with us? What are the changes And not only that, if a part of us is becoming Christ-like and the other part is fading away, how do we tell which is which? Which voice is the right one to listen to? Do I listen to the one that says, pray for this person and go here? Or do I do the one that says, take time and pray and meditate? What one am I supposed to listen to? They both sound good. Maybe I don't know how to tell. What's the old thing? And what's the new thing? You know, I found a good way to explain this, and it just happens to be on a week where my sons and I went through an experience that was quite simple. But the van I had was on its last legs, or last wheels, you might say. And I happened to be rolling through Hoptown after visiting in the hospital, and I pulled into a parking lot of a dealer thinking I wanted to go look at a different dealer, and rode right by a couple of vans. And I said, Lord, if you ever give me something cheap, I'll act on it. But, you know, I didn't think I'd do it that day. I had other things to do. Well, I happened to stay there a little longer than I expected and saw the vehicle that I ended up with, which was 5 years newer. When I purchased it, my sons got in it, and they said, we really missed that old van, Dad. And then they started looking at what was different. You do that, don't you, if you have the same kind of model, but a newer... You say, well, look, the gauges are different, and this is different, and this has these features the other one didn't have. And you kind of see things change, you know? You push a button. If I did right now, it would do it, but I'm not going to push the button right now. But if I pushed a button right now, the back gate would open on its own after beeping, like it was backing up. And then you push it again, and it closes. And I'd never seen one of those before. I didn't even know they made that stuff. But it does that. It's pretty neat. I was playing with it in the dealer's parking lot. You know, I said, how far away can I do this in the bathroom? You know, I'm like that. I like to play with stuff, see if it'll open from behind doors and stuff. And I did that, and it was fun. Y'all probably don't do that, but I try things to see, you know, how far away will this work? But anyway, as we were driving down the road, they said, I really missed that old van, and he said he missed it because we had so much fun in it. It's been all over the place. We bought that one when we were stranded, and now we don't have one that was bought when we were stranded. And we had fun. But this one is new. It's different, and there's no experience with it. So when Christ comes in, we don't know what to expect. We don't know what he's going to do with the old stuff because we don't know what the new stuff's about. And we hear talk about reconciliation and we say, okay, that means that my bank account matches the statement in my checkbook too. Well, I don't know what reconciliation really means, really, when it comes to Jesus. Maybe we think that way. And we say, I know it means reconciled means even. You think about that. The Bible says, get even with God. That doesn't sound right, does it? It doesn't mean that. It means that you match at the bottom line with God. Now, that's how reconciliation really means, is that both sides are even. This is reconciled with that on equal terms. So I'm trying to be reconciled to God. I'm trying to be on equal terms with God. It doesn't mean I'm trying to be God. It means that I'm at a place with God where I stand on the same footing. He sees me one way and I see me the same way. Now think about that a moment. Most of us, when we were convinced that we were not really holy people before Christ ever became a reality to us, and then you would say, God's there, I can't talk to God. God doesn't, you know, I don't even know who God is. I'm not one of his. I don't know much about God. I know there's a God, and I believe in a God, but right now I don't want to see him. That kind of mentality, we say, I'm not on same footing with God. The thing is God has always loved you. Always. Always. Even before you even knew God loved you, He loved you. Before you ever thought God might actually care for you, He loved you. He loved you before you were even born. He loved you in a way that was the best way for you, and still does. And that's difficult for us because we don't see a world that's fair. We don't see a life that always makes sense. And so we want to tell God that you're not being fair. Life doesn't make sense. And when we hear about grace and mercy and forgiveness, we say, well, I need all that, but it's still not fair. Life still gets tough. People fall apart and die. People get sick and not healthy anymore, and it scares us. And we don't like that, and we try to reconcile all that in our mind. We try to reason out, explain that, and we can't find a reason for it. So, how do we determine what part of us is pleasing to God? Especially the parts of us that we didn't know could please God. I like what it says in Galatians. It says, for freedom, God has set us free by His Spirit. So let us not ever again be entangled with a yoke of bondage. I like that verse because it talks about a freedom that we now have that we didn't have before. Sometimes we can say freedoms, but it's freedom. It's entirely over your entire life. You have freedom in the Holy Spirit now. And not only that, but you have all of God's resources at your disposal now. Everything that God is. And if you ever say, well, what's my freedom? Well, if you ever look in the book of Hebrews, it talks about it and says that we have the freedom now to lay aside the weight and sin which easily besets us. And we can run now with confidence the race set before us. And that word confidence means the assurance that we can actually complete the race. Without God or Christ in our life, we don't have an opportunity or even a hope of completing the race. And Paul says all we have to do in Hebrews, again, he says, looking unto Jesus, He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then he says this, and this verse captures it. He says, for consider Him, that's Jesus, that endured this contradiction, that a cross of suffering and death, and our sin, and those who crucified Him, were against Him. Yet, consider that, lest you become weary and faint in your mind. Because our thinking will ruin us quicker than our acting. Do you know that what you think about yourself becomes more true than how you act? Because your thinking will guide your behavior. If you believe that you have received God's mercy and you belong to Him, you will begin to act that way. If you believe that you're not worthy, you'll act that way. If you believe you don't matter, you'll let life ruin you. But if you believe that God can effectively change you and make you into a person of mercy and grace, He'll do it. The first thing you have to do is be willing to acknowledge that God can. I made a list this morning. I thought it would be good to notice the difference between the new and the old. And they are not antonyms. And they're not synonyms. They're different by the changes that God makes. Listen. In the new life, we live as forgiven people. We walk around knowing that although we fail and displease God, we're forgiven. Without God, we see it this way, that we are based in sin, and every sin we have is held against us until we come to God for mercy. As a new creature in Christ, it says, we are reconciled. The sin mark is no longer in our lives. Sin no longer has power to destroy us. It doesn't have that authority. Second thing, in the new thing in life, we're sanctified. And I'm talking about stuff now, not someday, now. We're sanctified. In the old way of thinking, we live in shame. Well, I can't be holy. I can't be in the presence of God. I'm not worthy. I know a fellow one time, rough guy. I worked on that fellow for about a year and a half. Finally got him to come to church, and he looked up like this as he walked in. And as I approached him later, I said, why are you looking up? And he said, two reasons. Number one, I was afraid the ceiling and walls were going to fall on me. And number two, I forgot what it looked like in church. And I didn't think I'd ever do it again. We feel shameful, or else we feel sanctified. That means set apart for God's work. In the new life, we're holy. In the old life, we feel judged. Think about that a moment. If you mess up, all of a sudden you go, oh, I've messed up and I'm just not worthy anymore. That's judgment. But if you mess up and you're holy, guess what? You're still holy. Then you're not judged for it. You're free to grow through your mistakes. God doesn't hold our mistakes against us, or He wouldn't have sent His Son to die for them. New life, we have joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, given by God through Christ and the Holy Spirit. In the old way of life, we tried for comfort and happiness. I'm not worried about being happy, I'm worried about joy. Joy is from the Holy Spirit. Happiness is from being comfortable. I'm happy in a comfortable bed, but I'm full of joy from the Holy Spirit that I can't stop no matter where I'm at. In the new life, we are loved and we're loving people. In the old life, we're self-seeking. In the new life, we're generous. And you think in the old life, we're stingy. It's not true. The opposite of generous in the old life is angry. Why didn't people want to ask me for a handout? Why would I want to give to that church? When God comes and you go, who can I help? Takes away the anger. The opposite of generousness is anger. In the new life, you're free. You have freedom. In the old life, you're confused. You didn't know that confusion and freedom were opposites, did you? If you did, you're walking in the new life. In the new life, you're compassionate. You see things and you feel care for those who are hurting around you. God's Spirit moves you to act out of compassion. In the old life, you're disinterested in life. And other people have problems, but that's not yours. You don't associate. And Paul says in this 2 Corinthians 5 that we are ambassadors. We're carrying a message of joy. Let me tell you something. If you really found a joy in Jesus Christ, you want your friends to have it too. But if you're miserable, as they say, you're miserable alone, and nobody wants that. I can tell you this, if you're miserable, I don't want your misery, but I'll share my joy. The opposite of ambassadorness in Christ is you're internally focused. And then you can be connected to each other in Christ. We all have that bond across denominational lines, across miles, no matter what. But without Christ, we are unpredictable because we have no connection to anything, really, and we'll sell anybody out. And Paul says we're reconciled now. We are back to good with God. We're on the same page, and we're in the same category that He says we are. And without Him, we are uncertain, or we're self-confident and self-assured with no basis. Then the last one that I came up with is in the new life, we are content inside. peace no matter where we're at. In the old life, we're homeless. And no place is home. And we got no home to go to when we die. And we don't feel at home anywhere in this world. Y'all don't know a whole lot about that, but in a couple weeks, I'm going to share with you a story about some homelessness. By definition, we as Christians are ambassadors. That means we evangelize wherever we go. Whatever we say, whatever we do, we're representing Christ. And Paul says to be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. That means first you, and then you can carry the message as well. And you will. But this is what he says. He says, we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That means we now have peace with God and we're right with God. And I really wanted a good way to share how this makes sense to me. And I couldn't come up with anything until in the devotion I read on Friday, the following sentences were read. He said, our warfare is not against sin. We can never fight against sin. Jesus Christ deals with sin and redemption at Calvary. The conflict is along the line of turning over our natural life into a spiritual life. This is done only by a series of moral choices. It's no longer, am I a sinner or am I sinning? It's now, how do I turn from that old life and start making choices that make sense according to the life that's in me? I now have the way, the truth, and the life in me. I have to learn how to make the choices that line up. It's a new deal. I don't know, when I first come to Christ, what those choices are. And I might even look at someone who knows who Jesus is and loves Christ and not understand how they can go through certain things or make choices because it's not in me real well. But when you get into a relationship with Jesus Christ, He tells us He will help us. Here's how you might take this and make sense out of it. It's very simple. When we belong to Jesus Christ, it's not about what you do right or wrong. That's religiousness. That's social and moral piety. What it's about is your relationship with Jesus and learning who He is. That's all you have to concentrate on, is learning who Jesus Christ is and allowing Him to form Himself in you. It's about a relationship, not religion. I can tell you all sorts of things about people I know, but until you know them and experience them, you don't know who they are. Right? I can tell you about some of my best friends and some folks down in Mississippi. You'd say, oh, that's funny, I got a good mental picture. But when you see me, you go, that's nothing like what I thought they'd be like. Because you hadn't really experienced them but through my eyes. Jesus Christ, when you are in a relationship with Him, transforms you by the relationship. Hear this. Things may look different, but it's the experience of that relationship that changes you. My sons were right. It's the experiences we had in that van that we can't replicate in the new one. And when Jesus Christ comes in and you experience Him, life changes. I wish that I could take the love of God, the blessings of Christ Jesus, and lay them out for you, and you go, yeah, that's it, that's me, I want that, and that's all I am. But those come with moments with Christ for you. That has to come personally. Do you know what faith is? A wonderful definition says this. It is our response to God's personal revelation of Himself to you in Christ Jesus. That the way God comes to you and how you respond to that is how you develop your faith. I would rather that you all would never have to suffer or hurt or grow old or get feeble or any of that. That would be my heart's desire, that none of us would have to know the sufferings. But did you know I can't make that happen? I would do that for you if I could, but I can't do that. There's only one who can bring you strength and encouragement through them, and that's Christ. Remember this. When Christ comes in, everything's new. Everything. That old stuff is passed away now. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it will be the foundation of who you are. Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask often in our prayers that you would be available as a healer, as a restorer. As we come now, Lord, I ask that you'd be available to us as a friend. Someone who we can share each moment intimately with. Amen. As we prepare to sing our closing hymn, I remember a time when I was in college. I wasn't planning on telling you this, but it just fits real well. I was leading a Bible study. I'd never done it before, but the guy who said he wanted to lead it didn't show up. So I led it. And I asked, there was only two people there, myself and another guy. And I thought, well, let's do it anyway. I need practice. So I asked him, I said, why do we sin? And he said, I don't know. I don't know why I sin. I just do. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you knew that Jesus Christ was with you and your friends were asking you to create a sin or commit a sin or to do something displeasing to Jesus and you saw Jesus right there with you, would it be easier not to do it? He said, it'd be real easy. Yeah. And I said, well, what if your friends couldn't see Jesus, and only you could, and you saw him plain as day, and you felt his touch, and you were walking and talking with him, and your friends all thought you were nuts? Would you still want to do what was pleasing to him? And he said, yeah. And I said, then, the question that I ask you, do you not believe that he's there, and that he's always with you, walking beside you, and dwells and lives within you? And does that not help you, when you know that, to do things that please him? That day after that Bible study, weirdest thing happened to me. I started walking down the lane there in front of Holman Science Hall at McKendree College. And I started talking to this Jesus next to me. It was kind of weird because I went like this, because I could actually picture him there, and I went like this, and I was walking down a road like this with my arm around him. And someone stopped me and said, what are you doing? So I'm talking to Jesus. And he said, no, no, what are you doing with your arm out? I said, oh, my arm's around his shoulder. And he said, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? And I said, I'd rather have this and you think I'm crazy than not have him and be confused. He's with me. And you know, ever since that moment, I've never had failed to know that he's with me. Always. When you know that, you can begin to understand what the disciples said in John, I think it was 14. he said that he explained who he was, and then the disciples said this: "We no longer need to ask you any more questions because we know who you are." That's from the Bible. We no longer need to ask Christ questions about why this or why that or can you do this when you know who He is. Only in relationship can you do that. And that's the only way life is new. It changes you. How many? 365.
Same book.